Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. It's Wednesday, May 27th. I'm Sarith Hawk. With a recently redrawn congressional map, Democrats are working hard to flip Valley Congressman David Valadao's seat. But which Democrat will advance from the primary next week to the November election?
I think it is pretty safe to say that Villegas is giving Baines more of a run for her money than many political watchers expected going into this race.
Dr. Jasmeet Baines and Randy Villegas face off in District 22. Today, we get a preview of the race. But first, these headlines. New data shows cuts to Medi-Cal, the state's Medicaid program, are taking a steep toll on California's once-celebrated Health Care for All movement. Selena Arredondo of the news organization Public Health Watch, in partnership with KVPR, has the numbers.
More than 86,000 immigrants without legal status left Medi-Cal in January and February. That's according to the latest data from the California Department of Health Care Services. The sharp decline is the largest consecutive enrollment drop for this population since 2024, when California first opened Medi-Cal to all low-income residents, regardless of immigration status. Laura Scheckler of the California Primary Care Association says the drop is a huge step back.
2024 was such a point of pride. It is really disheartening to see California move in the other direction.
Driving the decline, experts say, is several major state policy changes that block or discourage immigrants from obtaining coverage, including an enrollment freeze on undocumented immigrants that went into effect in January. From Public Health Watch for KVPR News, I'm Selena Arredondo.
One person is dead after a plane crash this past weekend in Tulare County. News outlets report the pilot was identified as 74-year-old Michael Hill of San Bernardino County. He was flying the small plane that crashed down on Road 204 near Woodlake on Saturday morning. Authorities arrived to find the plane engulfed in flames. No other injuries were reported. Hill had reportedly taken off from Woodlake Airport just a few minutes earlier. Authorities are still investigating the cause. A bill prohibiting law enforcement officers from interfering with California's election process is advancing in the state legislature. Among other things, it would bar anyone from allowing law enforcement agents to seize voting machines without a specific court order. San Diego Republican Assemblymember Carl DeMaio urged his colleagues to reject the bill.
This is not about trust or confidence. It's not about transparency or accountability. This is about further dividing us on the issue, the important issue of the integrity of our elections.
That prompted this response from bill supporter, Menlo Park Democratic Assemblymember Mark Berman.
My colleague from San Diego likes to talk a lot about how voters have lost faith in our democracy. Voters lose faith in democracy when presidents lie about the faith of our elections.
The bill passed the assembly. The measure has an urgency clause allowing its provisions to take effect for the June 2nd statewide primary election if signed into law by Governor Newsom in time. Starting this fall, the Fresno Unified School District will no longer allow students to bring school laptops home with them. It's an effort to cut back on $4 million the district is spending each year on laptop repairs. According to the Associated Press, this comes amid nationwide backlash against school devices that were made widely available during the pandemic. For instance, the Los Angeles School District now requires no devices until second grade and screen limits for higher grades. The California State Championship track meet is coming up. Starting Saturday, the best high school track and field athletes will compete at Buchanan High School in Clovis. Among them will be Daisy Jackson, a shot putter from Kingsburg High School. Daisy placed third this past weekend in the qualifier in Clovis.
If you enjoy Central Valley Daily and want even more news, tune into our broadcast. KVPR is Central California's NPR station. Find us on your radio at 89.3 FM in Fresno, 89.1 in Bakersfield, or tell your smart speaker to play KVPR.
And now to our main story. One of the country's most competitive primary races for Congress right now is a swing district right here in the Central Valley. Democrats are hoping to flip a seat long held by Republican David Valadao. But first, they need a nominee. With less than a week until the primary, the party's two candidates are competing for who can appeal to the most voters as the National Democratic Party contemplates its own identity. KVPR's Carrie Klein reports.
It's a warm spring night in the central California town of Hanford. Kids are playing soccer, an ice cream truck rolls by, and Democratic congressional candidate Randy Villegas is out knocking on doors. He walks up to a house with a fountain on the front steps.
My name is Randy Villegas. I'm running for Congress against Republican David Valadao, and I just want to introduce myself.
This district is purple. David Valadao, who's a Republican, has won 6 of the last 7 congressional elections here. On this night, Villegas's messages supporting universal health care and suspending federal gas taxes seem to resonate with voters.
Do you think I can count on your vote and your support?
Sure.
Yes.
I did vote for you.
Villegas is a political science professor, serves on a local school board. On the trail, he says he refuses to accept campaign contributions from corporations. And if elected, he says his focus would be on supporting those he says have been ignored by Washington.
This isn't a fight about left versus right. It's a fight about bottom versus top and working families who've been left behind by politicians in both parties.
This type of messaging is gaining popularity among Democratic primary voters across the country as they become increasingly frustrated with not just the Trump administration, but also the Democratic establishment. Villegas earned endorsements from Senator Bernie Sanders and Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who are supporting other Democratic candidates around the country as well. California State Assemblymember Jasmeet Bains is also running for the Democratic nomination here. She represents part of this district in the state legislature and is also a family doctor.
It's time we elect the physician to Congress.
In Sacramento, she's voted for Democratic priorities like supporting access to abortion rights and public school funding, but she also bucked her party on some prominent issues, including by voting against Democratic redistricting and against an effort to restrict oil industry profits. She says she listens to her constituents, many of whom voted for President Trump.
The people that represent the Valley understand the importance of standing up for the Valley, not their party.
One thing she and Villegas have in common? They both scold Valadao for voting to slash Medicaid funding, even though his district has the highest Medicaid enrollment in the country.
Him and the Republicans are trying to gaslight us into thinking, oh, this isn't going to impact you. No, sir, it is impacting us. It's already impacting us.
Although Bains doesn't always align herself with her party, she's been endorsed by the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, also known as the DCCC. Andrew Godnich, a Democratic strategist, says he understands why the party's establishment supports her. In 2024, Democratic presidential candidate Kamala Harris lost in Bains' district, and yet Bains won by a long shot.
When you have a candidate who has shown they have an affinity with the independent voters and Democrats who have been turned off, it's important to give that candidate the backing to win.
After all, he stresses the party's main goal is winning back the House this November. Ivy Cargill teaches political science at California State University Bakersfield. She says this primary is being closely watched all over the country.
The schism between these two candidates is emblematic of what is happening with the Democratic Party at the national level, where there is this tug of war for the identity of the party.
Both Democrats are tugging hard, knocking on thousands of doors. Although at least 4 recent debates turned into one-on-one discussions when Villegas was the only candidate who agreed to participate. As for why, Valadao's team declined to answer questions for this story. Bains replied to say she'll only debate candidates who live in the district. It turns out Villegas and Valadao's homes are outside District 22, thanks to recent redistricting. Living outside the district is legal, however, for candidates and members of Congress. Here in California, the top 2 vote-getters in a primary advance to the general election, regardless of party. Valadao will likely secure one of those spots. The other will be decided on June 2nd. For KVPR News, I'm Carrie Klein in Hanford.
And Carrie joins me now in the studio to dive a little deeper into her reporting. Welcome, Carrie.
Hi, Sarith.
So, Carrie, we're now less than a week away from this primary. What are the polls currently saying about this race?
Unfortunately, it's really hard to tell. There's really only been one official poll so far, and it's partisan. It's by the progressive group Data for Progress, which has also backed one of the candidates, Randy Villegas. So take that with a grain of salt. But that poll has Valadao leading at around 44% of the vote, then Villegas with 25% and Baines with 21%. Now, you know, it's safe to say those numbers are not precise, but I think it is pretty safe to say that Villegas is giving Baines more of a run for her money than many political watchers expected going into this race.
Interesting. So what about campaign funds for this race? Which candidates have raised the most money so far?
So far, David Valadao is way out ahead, about $4.2 million. That's not surprising. He's the incumbent. He first held this seat in 2012. He has the best name recognition. He's the only Republican candidate. He's getting tons of backing from the right. But between the Democrats, Villegas is actually out fundraising Baines. He's raised about $1.7 million. She's at $1.3 million. That's still relatively close, but he has consistently been ahead. And that's partly because he threw his hat in the ring a few months before Baines did. So he had a bit of a fundraising head start. Another interesting element of that is that Villegas has not accepted any donations from corporate PACs. Those are political action committees, but both Baines and Valadao have.
In your reporting, you name a few endorsements in your story. What are some other major groups that have endorsed Villegas and Baines?
So, right. As I said, Baines has the backing of the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, the DCCC. That's a big one. They don't weigh in on every race. She also has the backing of a few local Democratic congresspeople, Zoe Lofgren and Adam Gray, namely other congresspeople from around the country, local elected leaders like Senators Melissa Hurtado and Ana Carballero, Planned Parenthood, Emily's List, and many unions representing educators, healthcare workers, and industrial workers. Randy Villegas, as I said, has the backing of Bernie Sanders and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And although he doesn't have the backing of the DCCC, he does have the endorsement of different congressional organizations like the Congressional Progressive Caucus and the Congressional Hispanic Caucus. He also has the backing of Dolores Huerta, the Jane Fonda Climate PAC, and other unions representing educators and auto workers, plus other elected local leaders from our area. And interestingly, the state Democratic Party has not endorsed either candidate, which is kind of a conspicuous lack of endorsement as well.
Yeah, a lot to keep track of if you're trying to decide. You also discussed the debates that Valadao and Baines didn't attend. It was really striking to me that Villegas was the only one to show up to any of them.
Yeah, that's right. We know of at least four debates that all candidates were invited to, and he was the only one to agree to come. There was one in Fresno last month that I actually moderated. There was one in Lindsay by Radio Bilingue, one in Stratford by Valley Voices, and another that was planned for Bakersfield by KGET. And all of those just turned into one-on-ones with Villegas. KGET actually made kind of a long profile, video profile of Randy. And all of these, you know, they gave Villegas, frankly, more media coverage and more time in front of voters. I asked the other candidates why they didn't agree to go. And Valadao's team, they wouldn't answer that question. That is not so unusual from them. His team and he have not agreed to an interview from KVPR for years. They typically don't even answer questions from us. They did at least respond to us, but didn't answer that specific question. Baines told me that she's not attending because the other candidates don't live in this district. Villegas lives in Visalia. His home was in the district until 2020 redistricting, and then it was bumped out. Here's what she has to say about that.
I will debate any candidate that lives in this district. Right now, I'm the only one. I will not waste my time on a carpetbagger that is going to sit here and tout his endorsements of Democratic Party chairs.
So some pretty strong words there. A carpetbagger, of course, being kind of an old term for a out-of-town opportunist, basically. And now as for Valadao, both Baines's and Villegas' teams told me that his home near Hanford was just bumped out of the district in last year's redistricting. Though I should be clear that that's another question that I asked Valadao's team, that they have not actually confirmed that with me. But this is just some of the mudslinging that's come out in this race and even between these two Democratic candidates.
Wow. And when you were out talking to people about this race, what did you hear from locals in terms of their thoughts on the contest between Villegas and Baines?
Well, so I have spoken to a small sliver of voters, so I can't at all, you know, I have not spoken to a large enough slice to be able to make generalizations here, but, you know, some feel very comfortable with Jasmine Baines. She's a recognized name in local politics. She's introduced many pieces of legislation. You know, people appreciate that she's already made inroads in Sacramento and with other lawmakers, but others feel that they simply want to change. They're unhappy with the establishment, whether that's the current administration in the White House or establishment Democrats. They just want something new, and so they're turning more toward Randy Viegas. One of those is Kathy Jorgensen. She's the chair of the Democrats of Kings County. She says if Jasmeet Baines comes out on top of Viegas in the primary, her county's party will back Baines, but for now, they're backing Viegas. You know, mostly because of this lack of, you know, showing up in these public events and other things that have gone on for longer in this primary race.
It's hard to support somebody that you don't know when you do know the other candidates so well.
I also spoke with some voters who said they'd vote for Viegas. Simon Flores, for instance, he's a Republican in Hanford. He was sitting on his porch in front of a fan when Viegas was canvassing part of the city one night. And he says Viegas won him over by being there and by chatting with him about the high costs of utilities and rent.
I don't see David Valadeo or anybody out here walking around in the heat.
Now, I should point out that I only went out canvassing with Viegas. I asked to go out reporting with Baines, but she didn't have any canvassing dates available during my reporting period.
KVPR Associate Editor Carrie Klein, thanks for helping to break down this important race for us.
Yeah, thank you.
And that's today's show. Today's episode was produced by Carrie Klein, Amy Isaacson, Padma Rama, Jonathan Linden, and KVPR, with support from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. I'm Sarith Hawk. Find the latest local news anytime at kvpr.org.
You know, every day on Up First, NPR's Golden Globe-nominated morning news podcast, we bring you three essential stories. At the heart of each story are questions. What really happened? What really mattered? What happens next? At NPR, we stand for your right to be curious and to follow the facts. Follow Up First wherever you get your podcasts and start your day knowing what matters and why.